to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means.
The best, worst day of the week.
The best, worst day of the week. And you have chosen us to spend that day with. So thank you for that. We are jumping into part two of Kyle's deep dive into the Law of One.
The Law of One.
So I am stoked to get into the meat of that. But first, we got to get through all the business, take care of the housekeeping. So check us out at all our socials, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast, and we will be there. Come and join the community. Indoctrinate yourself into the cult. It's a good time, we promise. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on our Thursday shows, you'd like for me and Kyle to put it out into the airwaves and then chit-chat about it, he's got some information that you're going to want.
I do. It's easy. A, you can check the show notes. B, you can write your story out in as much detail as you possibly can, because I am a sucker for stories. And then shoot that over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Then we will find it, file it in true Hollow Sky fashion, which is chaotic. And then we will bring it up and do a show about it. And then you'll be famous.
I wasn't ready for that. You will be famous.
You will be.
You will be famous. So yeah, definitely do that. We also have a link tree. I never talk about our link tree. If you search up Hollow Sky Podcast on the link tree, there is a link to literally everything you could ever possibly want and more. So check that out. If you want to support the show, you can go to that link tree. Click the Patreon tab and you can go over there. Patreon's cool. For a mere $7 a month, you get all kinds of extra episodes. You get early episodes. Those early episodes are ad-free episodes. And what else we got over there? We'll run coupon deals to our store. We release expertly created AI music tracks.
Hell yes.
From Dark Array Media's own Casket Breath, which is sick and fly at the same time.
It is awesome.
So yeah, check that out. Speaking of your coupons for the merch store, if you go to hollowskypodcast.com, you can check the store out there. We got all kinds of cool cultish items like t-shirts and stickers and hats and all kinds of goodies. We're going to have shortly a whole new sticker drop coming in hot. There should be 6 new stickers dropping before earlier than later. Something. So you can
something check, like that.
So you can check that out. Other ways to support the show: word of mouth. Share the show everywhere. Share Please. It on social media. Share it. Just manifest it into the ether. We will always be grateful for any help we can get. People putting the show out there, putting our name in the hat for anything weird.
And maybe we can uptick on interdimensional listeners.
Yeah, we're pushing. That's a demographic we haven't really capitalized on.
Well, it's hard to keep track on those two.
Yeah, they don't leave a lot of reviews.
Yeah.
It's usually just crybaby ass people.
That's true.
But on the flip side of that, if you want to leave us a 5-star rating and review, I'll gladly shout you out. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Septa Lamore. Septa says, 5 stars, a real gem. I've come to really, really appreciate this show. Steve and Kyle cover a lot of cases I've never heard about. What's more is that they do it in a way that feels open and welcome to all comers. Real, come on in, grab a bevy, and take a seat around the table kind of energy, which can be hard to come by. Good guys with good hearts and good chemistry and good stories. What else could you ask for?
I'm in.
Septa, thank you. Thank you for being one of the real OGs and leaving us some kind words.
Yeah, it's not our fault that we're just relatable. Yeah. I mean, it is our fault, but, you know, you get it.
It is true.
You get it.
I'll take that knock. But anyway, onto the good stuff. Thanks for just taking the time to say cool shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Thank you for that.
You can't go wrong with cool shit. 4 minutes and 44 seconds into the show. Just noting that here.
Yeah. And if you want to leave us a 1-star review, if you don't fuck with us, don't fuck with us.
Amen.
It's easy as that.
Amen.
Now that we're 5 minutes on the dot. Kyle's about ready to take us into part two.
I am.
The Law of One. That being said, be sure to go back and listen to the first episode if you have not at this point. That way you're not lost as to where we're at.
Yeah. A couple things. Whenever I reread the Law of One title, it really makes me think of The Matrix with Neo being the one, which also reminds me that we should somehow form a petition or reach out in excess and get Keanu Reeves on the show. Just putting that out there.
Manifest.
Like that, yeah, manifest.
Manifest Keanu Reeves, Nicolas Cage.
All to come on. I don't know where Nick got brought in here, but
Nicolas Cage is always here.
I'll take him too.
He is officially, unofficially, the third host of Hollow Sky.
I can agree with that. I could agree with that. I would be okay with that.
Sorry, I'm off my
Nicolas Cage. I would be okay with that. That's mint.
Let's manifest that Hollow Cult. That's your homework for this week.
Please. It would be fantastic. But anyways, on to the Law of One. So last episode, we kind of left off with a message from Hatan, and we'll essentially start this one off with the same. Once again, I actually really appreciate these messages already because they've got a lot of depth and I can understand them at least, you know, in my own mind, because in a roundabout way, it's things that we speak on, and we feel strongly about. Hatan begins to explain how mankind has essentially lost his way. He's more focused on material things that we've created as a species instead of the creation that exists around them. And that's what he's saying in regards to mankind losing its way. For example, Hatan expresses how plants filter oxygen for us, the entire cycle of it, and how amazing everything working in unison is, which he's right. It is a system that is so perfect for us and helping evolve us. And in today's world, we're kind of dismissive of it. We just don't really give a shit.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. Like, you don't even think about how fine-tuned everything is in order for existence to exist, essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially for like humans. I forget the exact like green Goldilocks area we have, but if the Earth's orbit would have been like, I don't know, so many miles different, we'd be too hot to even support life on the planet, you know, or too cold, which is pretty crazy.
It is. It really is. And the older I get, the more these words and ideas kind of weigh on me, how life should be simple. It should be full of meaning and appreciation. But as we entered into these new ages, that whole process is just kind of fucked. We focus so much on grinding and acquiring than anything else. In a really odd twist here, we go back to meditation and the illusion Hatan was talking about in the first episode. It still nevertheless gets weirder because he continues to bring it up. Hatan speaks about how the illusion is generated by man. The illusion is extremely useful in its rapid evolution, which once again, by the phrasing, is extremely interesting in regards to the night shift. We talked about using AI systems to have people serve many years in prison in a matter of minutes. The way it's worded and presented makes me feel like it's similar to the type of illusion Hatan is speaking about.
That is strange.
It's weird, right?
To think of it like
that. Yeah. Almost like how we hear about this life is for advanced learning, an advanced learning experience. And you hear that in conjunction with reincarnation.
Yeah.
Well, what if we use this illusion to advance ourselves super fast to achieve some type of greater goal, like ascending into the next state of consciousness? Because Hatan even says that the beings and I want to point this out, not to mention Steve can also kind of elaborate a little bit on this as well if he recalls, but Hatan even speaks that the beings that circle the planet also want to use our illusion. They want it to progress in spirituality and has been sought out for some time.
That is, it's so weird that it goes hand in hand with, I wish I knew the guy's name. It was on Twitter. It popped up and he was fully talking about beings gathering around the planet for some sort of massive event that is going to take place in the near future, right? So essentially you almost have like an audience. It almost reminds me of like the old gladiator days or something.
Yeah.
You have all of these big head important heads of the galaxy tuning in to Earth and humanity because something, they don't know if it's geological, they don't know if it's spiritual, they don't know if it's geopolitical, they don't know what it is. Something is going to cause a mass shift in the progress of humanity, I guess. Be it a leap forward, be it a leap backwards, whatever it is, it's got the attention of all kinds of entities that are not from this planet.
And that was apparently released by the Monroe Institute, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I should look up and try to find because that's wild.
It is crazy. But it's even weirder that it matches up with this.
Timing is weird.
Yeah, the timing of it is extremely bizarre. But during the conversations, Hatan actually even recognizes Jesus to some degree and how he understands the illusion. He understands the potentials. He also points out things that we talk about. For example, if you pay attention to the illusion, you can learn from it, which in a way is like saying when you begin to pay attention to the universe, the answers will then be unveiled to you. And a lot of this, what I'm reading, I find extreme similarities between what we say, what you guys say, and what these divine entities or whatever you want to call them say. It's just that they're using slightly different verbiage than what we are. But I feel like we're all in the same vein to a degree. Because it's also like that phrasing there is also no different than me and Steve talking about when you stare into the abyss, it stares back at you. Like there's that level of acknowledgement there. And I feel like that's kind of what Hatan is saying. It's also stated that desire is something within the creator's plan. If you desire it, you shall receive it. But as he says, it's almost like a paradox, how we may actually not fully understand what desire is, almost explaining in a way similar to how we speak of intention. Once again, suggestion here to meditate in hopes of you finding what your real desire is and allowing you to acquire it. But once again, I feel like this isn't much different than how many of us speak about intention. Almost like, and this is a very simplistic way of putting it, but say I really want a cheeseburger, but that's a basic want, right? However, if you're in a position of, I want a cheeseburger, I'm going to starve to death, well, that turns your desire, you know, like a true desire, true feeling there. And it's hard to explain, but I feel like you understand what I'm getting at.
Change
here.
It from a want to a need,
right? Like there's the varying degree of desire there that is significant.
Yeah.
You know, and Hatan insists that anyone who is seeking the knowledge will learn if you take the right avenues. Meditation is the number one method in all of this. For whatever reason, it gets mentioned an absolutely insane amount throughout his messages. Ironically enough, other things pop up as well. They suggest that when you're attempting to meditate, you should take precautions in doing so, which I find it's interesting to say the least.
I've been screaming it from the rooftops, bro.
you should do things when you go to meditation. You should do things like the Lord's Prayer or umming, singing or chanting or visualizing. This is another one that is very peculiar to me. Visualizing the white light of the Creator is another way to tune in, which is crazy because I've had other people, when we talk about protection, they talk about this white light or golden light.
And enveloping yourself.
Enveloping yourself in this light.
Yes.
So it's just, it's crazy.
That is so, and I think it fully lands on the amount of intention and consciousness people put into those things. Like the positivity that comes with the Lord's Prayer. Like you have millions of people that use that for protection.
Yeah.
I think that amount of energy going into that fully makes it, like it makes it what it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Same way with aming, same way with the white light. Like those are all positive.
Yes.
Protective, enlightening practices. Like when we got the haunted doll, right? I know I've talked about it before, but we talked to our friend who forever will want the haunted doll, and it will probably end up in her hands at one point or the other. She fully told us that whatever is connected to this thing, this doll, she said, if it gets out of hand, print out a copy of the Lord's Prayer and just set it underneath her container. She said it doesn't matter if you are religious. She said it doesn't matter if you are spiritual. She said that there is so much intent in the words of that prayer that it is one of the most powerful things that can be spoken. It's one of the most powerful spells that can be spoken.
Yep.
Because there's so much collective intent in it.
I agree. I believe it.
Which is like, I never, up until that point, I never put that connection. Like that the amount of energy and intent you put into something essentially makes it what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's also weird to consider that prayers can borderline be spells.
Yeah. That, like, I guess that's more where I was going, like tying those two things together. You're like, oh shit.
When in all reality that they're kept apart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, but they're used exactly the same way.
Right. Like, cause when you talk to anybody in that realm and they would be like, no, not even close to the spell. This is not the same thing. Dabbling in that woo-woo shit is going to get you in trouble.
And they're used exactly the same way.
Right.
Which is wild. Sorry, tangent.
No, it's good. The Confederation speaks of destruction on our planet. But we shouldn't be, and this is not promise, not, it doesn't make me feel great. And it is weird because that video Steve referenced just a minute ago, it's kind of also in that. But the Confederation speaks of destruction on our planet and that we shouldn't be too concerned with the outcome of it because our third density selves are only going to pass to the fourth if we have learned our lessons.
That's ominous.
Not that cool. It's also interesting because in regards to the events themselves, like what is going to be the destruction, they say something I understand and I don't, but it's weird. So they can't tell us what events will happen that may be horrible for the planet because they aren't written. These things will essentially manifest themselves based on us. What is in the vibration within the minds and hearts of everyone on the planet will then determine these precise events. And if you look at the state of the world, currently it's not that great. A lot of chaos going on.
It is. At first I thought it was going to take like a free will kind of vibe, but then it's more so a manifestation kind of thing.
Kind of.
Which is two very different things.
And it's scary. It's scary to actually ponder that because you hear more and more people like we've done it. You know, regrettably so, we did, and I would say our intent is not actually behind it, but we'll talk about like go ahead and bring on the alien invasion or bring on whatever nefarious event. But what if more and more people are putting more and more energy into those thoughts?
Oh yeah.
Like just get it over with already.
Which I mean,
and what if that does actually manifest some dark shit?
There's a lot of people that are beaten down
out yeah, there now. That's what I'm saying. It's
scary to think about.
It is kind of scary.
It is scary to think about that, like you essentially your thought patterns and I guess vibration for terms of the episode essentially start paving the path of the future.
It's weird, man. It's weird to fully consider that.
Yeah.
Hatan also says that a choice will be made by everyone on the planet, a choice that you may or may not even be aware of. The way they explain it is almost like a take on getting into heaven, essentially. Basically, if you choose the path of light and love, which the way they describe it, it's not just saying I believe in God or the creator. It's about actually doing. So it's more about being a good person. And they don't even mention anything in regards to devotion. They specifically focus on the way that you are living your life.
I fuck with that.
Yeah, same here. 100%. The choice we make will somehow be very easy for those of the Confederation of Planets to interpret. So digest that for a second. They measure it by the vibratory rate of said individual.
Which I also fuck with.
Right. But it's weird that they talk about how they can interpret your vibration by like the actions of your life and the way that you live.
Because
in a roundabout way, that's almost like weighing your sins now that I think about it.
I hope that's 100% true. Because you have very self-righteous people that shout themselves from the mountaintops that do nothing positive.
Oh, yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
Period. The end. All they do is just stand there to hear themselves talk as to how good they are, how righteous they are, but they never put it to fruition. They never use it for good. And on the flip side of that, you have people that keep their mouth fucking shut, that don't look for any kind of, you know, give back from the world. They just do good and move forward. Do good and move forward. They're not looking for some kind of karmic pat on the back. They're not looking to post it on fucking social media. Oh, look what I did. They just do good and move forward.
Yep.
And I hope if there is anything after this, that's what it's based on. It's based on your actions, not on how you see yourself.
I agree. Yeah. It's actions speak louder than words all day, every day.
Yeah.
You know, and I do. It's just weird to think about that they have the ability to measure it.
And that, like,
you know what I mean?
It makes you feel real seen if they can tune into those vibrations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's something you can't fucking run from.
No.
You know, you can't lie your way out of it. You can't, no. Nothing. But it's also ironic that it is another, it's almost another way of, like I said, weighing your sins.
Yeah.
Before you get into heaven.
Strange.
It is weird. At some point in the future, And this is all done because at some point in the future, you will have what they call the quote-unquote harvest.
Which, I mean, there's so many parallels to almost just like Christianity.
100%. You know what I mean? Sounds just like the rapture.
Yeah.
Regardless, Hatan says that there will be a harvest and they will attempt to harvest as many as possible because that's their mission. They are, in fact, harvesters.
That's a terrifying...
It sounds scary as fuck. Yes. I'm not going to lie. Yes. It sounds scary. Not to mention, now that I recall, you remember... I don't even remember the episode, but we talked about the guy going to another realm and and he saw the UFOs harvesting souls and shit. Yep. You remember that?
Yep.
That's fucking scary to think about. Not that it's directly correlated, but it is scary to think about, to visualize.
It makes it like,
because the phrase harvester is just, it's so, it's scary.
Exactly, yeah, it's exactly what you think it means.
Yeah, it's so fucking scary.
I don't know if do you remember when you used to merchandise soda and they're like in the Walmarts and shit, there would be the birds that come in through the, they have a guy that comes in with a pellet gun to kill the birds in the store, and his job title is harvester.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. Did not know that. You learn something new every day, right?
Crazy.
Yeah, that's weird.
Not a good connotation behind it.
No. And so as of right now, in my studies here, that is as much as the harvest as I have been able to find so far. Because I am definitely intrigued into the process there. But so far, we haven't crossed that bridge yet. The next part is rather exciting, because something I haven't heard before, but in many communications from UFO entities, you have what is called wanderers. So this is another one that sounds pretty fucking, this sounds cool to me. So they have these wanderers have a hard time fitting into the planetary vibrations of Earth, often having the feeling that they don't fit or belong. So check, check. But at the same time, they have gifts within the arts, teaching, or just sharing a cheerful and happy vibration. The wanderers will be drawn to this material and understand it easier than most people. Ross suggests that there are approximately 65 million wanderers on Earth today. And that would have been back, you know, when they recorded all this.
Yeah.
Apparently, these wanderers have accepted a mission essentially to come to the third density in order to share the love and light. However, if they are unable to get past the forgetting process, then they run the risk of getting stuck in the third density and collect what they say loosely termed as karma, which can delay them getting back to their home planet.
That's weird.
It's weird.
65 million?
Approximately.
And that, you figure, whenever this was recorded, the communications were taking place, what was it, late 80s, early 90s?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
30 years ago, essentially, the population has, just the human population has exponentially blew up.
Right.
So, oh, that's crazy.
And they're all here for...
It makes Earth like some kind of weird purgatory.
Earth, and think about the fucking illusion / simulation. I mean, the illusion it runs parallel with simulation.
That's so
because
weird.
They specifically speak of it advancing them spiritually faster,
yeah,
than normal. Not to mention you have the reincarnation stories that it talks about. I mean, specifically talks about learning lessons and evolving.
Yeah. It does. I mean, it does. It makes Earth feel like a purgatory.
It is. It's bizarre, dude.
Which, I mean, fuck, maybe it is. Maybe this planet is.
Very well could be.
Maybe Earth's some other planet's hell.
Very well could be. So at this point, Don and Carl looked into the wanderers. They interviewed a regressed three women. All three of these women were friends. Each of them were regressed separately from one another. And when they did, they all gave dovetailing stories about life on another planet. Later, they met up with a man and regressed him. When they did this, Don and Carla seemingly found a fourth person that could then dovetail within the women's stories, which his story fit all three of their stories.
That's weird.
It is. And because
like
he's
the seventh time I've said that.
He was in no way connected to these women. So the first three, you could argue they came up with the story together, right?
Yeah.
But the interjection of him verifying all three of their stories independently from even hearing their fucking stories.
Yeah, the outside variable changes everything.
Exactly. Interestingly enough, the man describes a temple in the middle of town. The room within this temple is extremely well lit with no light sources. So much so that no shadows would be cast anywhere. Which is, now that I really sit and think about that, think about the underlying meaning of casting out all shadows within this holy space.
Yeah, no darkness.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't think about it when I was writing it, but
yeah.
Now I'm kind of like visualizing the whole thing, and I'm like, that's kind of a powerful message.
Yeah, it's almost like an embodiment of surrounding yourself with light.
Yeah, 100%. I never, because the way he describes it is almost like the air is somehow illuminating itself. Because there are no light sources anywhere.
Not that it's connected in any way whatsoever, but it reminds me of Sir No Face. When they were all in the first room.
And the light came on?
There was no direct source of the light. There was no shadows from the light.
That is weird. I mean, is it really that weird, though? Because it is kind of connected to aliens, so... There is a subtle connection there. It's not bizarre. Not that it's the same, but it is weird. I also find it interesting because he speaks about how in this world, they don't speak. They use telepathy as their main form of communication. He doesn't call it that, but you can clearly tell by the way he describes communication, it is telepathy. And in this world, he hears music, like a small choir singing quietly. Now, some of the women were able to describe this music as well. However, they stated that it looked like the music was sparking in the air and no one could accurately describe it. But essentially, the way I'm processing is it looks like sparks formulating in the air.
Yeah,
and that was the music itself.
Everything about it, like, can be perceived, like, on one hand, you can take it as the women were singing, right?
They heard the same, like, choir that the man is independently talking about, but they were able to.
Okay, so
they were able to see the music somehow.
So essentially whatever song the choir is singing could be taken as like almost like its intention as almost like a physical manifestation of like a spell, or it could be taken in that everything works on a vibration. Sound is a vibration.
That's true.
Which could also tie into it in that like realm.
It is true.
Weird.
And I might be shooting in the dark here, but the man, he's trying to explain the music. And so I'm picturing music, right? And he describes it more like praise. He does say praise like a choir. But it got me thinking, and I kind of mentioned this on the night shift, I believe, but what if what they're seeing and hearing is that? It's literal praise manifesting itself in the fourth density where they are. So essentially, and I'm not sure it's directly connected or not, but you could theorize that all the praise and thoughts that we're sending out into the ether is crossing over into the fourth density and manifesting itself in a visual manifestation.
That is interesting.
Not saying that's the case, but it that's where my brain was kind of moving down there. The man that is describing this place and the people in it, it reminds me, like, the way he's wording everything, and it reminds me of, like, a monastery or something. These people, they're dressed in all white. No one has their own homes. They all sit around reading these large books, just wanting to absorb as much knowledge as they possibly can. Which, like, you see that when you think of like monasteries or where the monks hang out. Like, I just feel like that is essentially a daily routine of those types of people. Don and Carla kind of horribly fucking describe these monk-like people. The nickname they gave them was the Clan.
Ah.
That's like the worst fucking nickname ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to mention they're dressed in all white.
It's got some negative connotations that come with that. Yeah,
like, what are we doing? You definitely could have picked a way better nickname for them.
Yeah. Different, not in no way defending, but a different time back then.
Yeah, no defense, but just a not that great of a nickname.
No. Let's do better next time, Carla.
I absolutely agree. The man who was describing all of the music and temples went on to tell about his life on the planet. So this guy here had the most memories that they were able to extract. He's got the most elaborate story of all four of them. He also basically describes the planet. He even describes how he grows old. He also described an airport of sorts where crafts would materialize, land, then take off and dematerialize. So he's essentially describing UFOs.
Yeah.
Right?
So
during his regression and explaining of his life, they get to a point where he passed away. And as he was about to reincarnate, so he's in this, and you have to, I'm going to explain this a little bit better. So he's being regressed. He's explaining his life. And then in explaining this, he dies in this regression, right? And as he's still being regressed, but as he's...
Hey, Holocult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity, try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code, HOLO, when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code, HOLO.
Now switching from this existence into his next existence, they stop him right in the middle before he's actually reincarnated, and they start to ask him questions. And in the end, they asked, why are you here on Earth as a wanderer? like the wanderers that I brought up before. And he doesn't let the actual reason slip, but goes on to explain that he's here for the lost ones, the people who are the lost. He must help them. From there, we move into, before we go any farther, it sounds like a holy crusade, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And I wonder what the significance is in between, in between catching him in between these reincarnated states. I guess because they say that once you fully reincarnate into the next one, you go through what is known by these people as the forgetting process. You have to somehow try to trump that, you know, and maybe that's why they caught him in the middle.
Yeah.
But it's a really, if you think about it, it's an interesting time to try to stop a regression.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there was intent behind stopping him.
Right at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I would have known any better. I've just been like, do your thing, man. Like, reincarnate. Let's see what you reincarnated into next.
Yeah, that is, I don't know. That's strange.
And this book is it's full of very thought-provoking processes. I'll tell you that.
It's so, like, it flips me back and forth because you forget, essentially, that you're kind of, like, it's kind of channeled through an entity that's not of humanity, right? Mm-hmm. So it feels a lot like it's this like kind of spiritual guidelines. And then all of a sudden you get these UFO things like the manifesting vehicles and shit. And it throws me for a loop and my brain's like at the same time trying to connect it, but also trying to reel it back in.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there are parallels. And then on one hand, they feel like they're not parallel, but they are parallel.
Yeah.
And it is like the whole,
it's a lot to process when you're listening.
Yeah, exactly. And then when I'm writing it, I'm trying to word it and come up with easier ways to explain what they're talking about. Like I can make it a couple thousand words and I have to just go, all right, I need to shut my brain down for a little bit.
Yeah.
I need to take a break. Cause this is, I don't know. I think I described that more in the next episode. Because of how I felt during that process.
It's so easy to make tangents on the things that they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, be it spiritual, be it paranormal, be it metaphysical, like the things that they cover are all things that we kind of encounter and dabble with a little bit. But the fact that they're all kind of tied together it's interesting.
Yeah. And it's also, it's like you call it relating and whatnot, but you can tell by the way they describe things, it's the same thing that we're saying. It's just different verbiages and different manifestations of the same thing. So it's trying to get that across. And I don't know. It's almost like talking to somebody with a different language, you know, cause when we do that in any culture, we'll be like,
it's almost,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's almost like it's so advanced that it has to dumb its ideas down.
Yeah. Yes. Which, like, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes it more palatable when you kind of think of it like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they might not even Hatan might not even have a language.
It's like talking, you know, to a toddler.
Yeah. Might not even have a language.
That's true. From here we move into Don and Carla and their research over the years. And this beginning, this beginning portion of the book is very kind of chaotic in its own right. Like, they're walking down the path with the Hatan, but they're also for some reason, they're interjecting these outside stories. And I don't know if it's a form of foreshadowing or what. I don't understand it yet, but like I said, we move into other research of Don and Carla. And Carla had an illness through all of this. She has what would be called juvenile rheumatoid arthritis with SLE or lupus. So her kidneys were basically failing her. But Don and Carla decided to look into some rather controversial and bizarre means of aid. And I think this here is probably going to fuck a lot of people up because it fucked me up. I never heard of this shit before. So they began looking into psychic surgery.
Oh.
So by the sounds of it, it sounds a little fucking woo-woo, right?
I don't want anybody to be able to perform surgery on me with their brain.
So I want everybody right now to think about what they think psychic surgery is. Hold that thought in your brain. Hold it there because we're getting ready to go through it. Because even reading it, it was not at all, at fucking all, what I expected it to be.
Kyle, if you psychically sell my kidney on the black market, I'm going to be pissed.
Apparently you can. You're going to get there.
We can go halvesies. I just want to point out, like, when I hear psychic surgery, I remember watching old videos on, like, In Search Of, or I don't know, it was some weird, like, esoteric show, and this guy was doing what they called psychic surgery. I don't know if it's linked to this whatsoever, but he was essentially, he had a person on a table and they were talking about their ailment, and he would use his finger and it looked real like sideshow magician hokey, and he'd run it along their stomach, and it's almost like he would have a packet of blood, and he would make this psychic incision and he would pull this weird tissue stuff out like a sleight of hand. And it was just like, and he'd pull this out, this mass of tissue, and he'd be like, well, you're cured. Here you go. Give me your money.
Okay. So keep those thoughts. So Don and Carla, and I'm actually kind of envious of this because this blows my mind in itself. Don and Carla begin to travel around the world looking in different countries and explore the possibility of psychic surgeries. So they're literally traveling to like Mexico, and it's very interesting enough. It is the southern areas like Mexico, and I can't think of the other one, but they're all of the same lineage essentially.
Which it could have also I don't know, man. I've never had
the Philippines. Psychic surgery. The Philippines. Sorry,
I've never had psychic surgery. So like, could there be something to the intent behind it,
bro? I think there can. So
when I watched it, it looked very parlor shoppy, like very sleight of hand. But on the flip side of that, not to be like cutting your grass and taking over here, if the person that receives that, right, like a placebo effect, if the person that receives that had 100% trust and intent that this procedure is going to work, could that cure them?
Right. So for you and all of the listeners, also keep that in mind.
You're making my brain hurt.
Keep that in mind. That is separate of what is about to happen.
Okay, sorry.
But definitely keep that in mind.
Circle back to this holocult.
I think that will come to fruition in the next episode.
Okay, remember, mark my words, literally. Yeah.
So here we go. In a Philippine bedroom, the patient undressed with basically intimates on, so I'm assuming just like
skivvies.
Yeah. They lie down on a bed and then they are covered, usually with a shower curtain. The healer, who is a religious man and has spent most of his life praying to become a healer and has walked in the wilderness of the volcanic mountains of Luzon, enters the room with nothing but a Bible in his hand. Usually the healer has another person with them, almost like a surgeon's assistant. The healer typically doesn't know English. He begins to move his hands over the body, palm down, and apparently this is like an x-ray for the holy man. This is him performing an x-ray. He finds a spot on said person that needs surgery, then it gets weird as fuck. If the healer is right-handed, they would put their left hand on the subject and firmly press. The skin then visually separates and the interior of the body is seen.
What?
According to Carla, these manifestations are extremely real looking. So much so that someone who is unfamiliar with what is going on would swear the body is literally opening up.
So it's not actually happening.
But it is kind of happening. The man's right hand will enter the body and manipulate the point of interest. Believe it or not, a man did this to Carla to actually fix her arthritis. He opened her abdomen and reached inside, and she could audibly hear the wet sounds, and he began to pull on something, only to remove three small, long pieces of material. At the center was a small piece of hard material. What's fucking crazy is that you remember me telling you about the assistant that comes and hangs out with the surgeon? Well, the assistant is actually the cleanup guy. And in Carla's case, like all the others, they literally had to mop up blood.
It's relatively similar to what I saw.
I know. When you were saying that, I'm like, well,
that's weird. I got to find a video of that.
So what's nuts is the objects that he removed from Carla were actually cysts on her ovaries. He also did the tugging motion to put her ovaries back into the proper place. And
to cure arthritis?
No. I don't know if you get to go, hey, I have arthritis, cure this.
Oh, I got you.
I think when you go in there, they scan you for something wrong and they fix it.
That makes sense.
So what's fucking crazy about that whole story is that Carla says the only people that knew about those cysts on her ovaries were her gynecologist and her mother. When she returned to America, she went to see her gynecologist. And sure enough, the cysts were gone.
That's...
So if you...
That is crazy.
You can hear this story and think as much bullshit as you want, but imagine being Carla in that. Because not only did she audibly heard it, she felt it, she saw it, she experienced it, but then she comes back to the States and she goes, you know what? I'm going to go to my gynecologist and see if this was real, if he really removed this stuff from my ovaries, only to have the gynecologist go, yeah, they're completely gone. They're gone.
Which, yeah. And
but it's, in my opinion, it still begs the question of what you brought up earlier.
If you believe it enough, like,
I still feel like that could be relevant in the entire situation here.
Which unlocks so many weird things. Like it almost unlocks the potential that we have to heal ourselves. You know what I mean? Because you believe, like, the only thing that makes a difference is you have a third party person who you're putting your intent into. I believe that this man can heal me with what he's doing. When internally, it's just your brain believing enough that he is healing you. So what if you just focused all that energy into, I believe that I can heal myself? Could you have essentially the same outcome?
I think you can.
Which is bonkers.
I think you can, and we get into a little bit of that in the next episode.
It's like we are so programmed to just accept being sick.
Yeah.
Because we're worth a fuck ton of money when we're sick.
That about sums that up.
You know? Which is, it is wild. I did find the video that I was referencing.
Oh, no shit.
After this. Yeah. It's so crazy.
So what's even like wilder to me is the fact that Don and Carla take this same experience with the psychic healing and they conjoin it with the seances and the materialization and dematerialization of UFOs. Which, so now they're tying, they're interlocking all of it because they all hold similarities of this magical materialization process, right? They all have at least that similarity to them.
That is weird.
Carla and Don also visited another healer named Pachita.
That sounds right.
I feel like it does too. during the surgery, she used, this is fucking so scary, she uses an extremely dull knife, and it is to Carla again. Carla lays on her stomach. She couldn't see what happened, but Don said the knife went 4 fucking inches into Carla's back, and she removed it repeatedly across Carla's spine.
What?
Pachita said she was working on Carla's kidneys.
First off, I'm a thick dude, so 4 inches ain't even going to get you to my organs. Second off, if you're going to do it, don't psychically try to sever my spine.
Yeah. Terrifying, the fact that she's running over. But, like, the fact that Don is there to, like, physically witness this dull-ass knife go 4 inches into his friend is fucking terrifying. Like, that would fuck me up if you laid down and somebody had a butter knife and was like, watch this. And they stuck it in you and raked it across your spine back and forth crazy fast. And I'm going, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, fuck, Steve, you're not going to be able to walk anymore. And then they pull it out. There's no blood. There's no nothing. And you're like, dude, I feel better than I've ever felt in my entire life.
And the crazier thing is that, like, this affects Don in no way. Like, the surgery's not going to help him. Like, if this is some sort of weird, like, hallucination, like, he is fully part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yeah. I mean, if it is, like, a weird parlor trick or weird smoke and mirrors trick, like, is the psychic healer, like that good to where he's convincing other people in the room that this shit's going on? Because,
bro, I don't know.
Dude, it is.
I don't know. The whole subject of psychic healing is fucking bananas to me.
Wait, this video is...
I'm excited.
I got it fired up.
I'm excited.
1973, spiritual healer performs operation with bare hands.
Bro, and that's the shit I'm trying to fucking see. I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if somebody was like, you guys are dope, come watch me psychic surgery this motherfucker.
I'd be there.
Oh, 100%.
I'd be there.
Fucking 100%.
Let's get it.
It's fucking awesome. So, from here, we move into Carla starting to venture into the area of channeling. One of the most impactful was at the start. She said she could channel to a degree, but it was while she was conscious, right? But a good friend of hers named Elaine had passed away, or she was passing away, and wanted to let her husband know that she was okay after she had passed. So Elaine, at this point, has passed. Tom, her husband, walks up to Carla and asks if she would make contact with Elaine. So now you're... I feel like you're putting Carla in a fucked up spot, right? Because Elaine's her friend. Tom's her friend. They know Carla's kind of venturing into these channel waters, and Tom's like, Carla, I need you to talk to my past wife. Like, I feel like that's not a hard good ask. Form. Yeah, that's not a hard good ask. That's a hard ask. Yeah. I get it.
Selfish, Tom.
That's a hard ask for me.
It's a little selfish.
But in Carla's shoes, as anyone would, Carla agrees.
Help your friend out.
She agrees to do it even though deep down she's kind of scared.
Understandable.
Like I said, big ass to contact a loved one, let alone a couple that is really good friends. Anyways, she agrees and she begins the process, to which she loses time and wakes up not knowing at all what happened. Now, keep in mind, every other time Carla has channeled, she's been conscious and awake. This time, she loses time and wakes up, not even knowing anything happens. As luck would have it, they have taped the entire conversation. And Carla was legitimately communicating with Elaine's voice.
Her voice was Elaine's voice?
Yes.
That's
and you could hear
creepy.
It.
Creepy.
According to this, you could hear it on the tapes.
Oh, it'd be awesome to find those.
Dude, Tom had Carla do this once more, and again it happens. Tom said that if Carla would have been in the other room channeling Elaine and Tom heard her talking, he would be 100% convinced it was his wife in the other room.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's fucking crazy.
I wish we could find those.
They might those be out tapes. There. If I dug around, I might be able to find
There's
them.
enough software out there. You could probably compare an OG recording of Elaine's voice to Carla channeling Elaine.
That would be crazy.
To see how close they were. That would be absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. In regards to the Elaine situation, this type of channeling was a lot for Carla. So she ends up telling Tom that she's done with it. She's like, I can't do this.
It's getting weird, Tom.
Yeah. It's a little fucking strange. However, a few days later, while working with an advanced meditation student, something overly bizarre happens. Something unexpected. Carla gets a new fucking contact. So I'm assuming she's meditating and she feels a presence move in, right? And she says that she challenges it. She challenges it with the name of Christ, saying that if you're not a messenger of Christ consciousness, you must leave. This thing stayed with her. So she's like, okay, it must not be that bad. We're going to check it out. So she essentially opens the front door to open herself up with conversation with whatever came knocking. The entity at this point calls itself Ra. In the book here, I admire once again the openness on the topic. They state that even with all of its frustrations, looking into this phenomena, it's most rewarding to those who are patient and to who take the approach of simply gathering data instead of trying to prove or disprove everything, which
we feel that.
Yeah. I feel like it's extremely relevant with Steve and I, whereas sometimes we throw out logical, we use logic a lot in our conversations, but I feel like for the most part, we note and gather the information and see if it doesn't line up with anything else we've heard, which is once again why we're so appreciative of everyone that tells us their stories and encounters.
Yeah, the bottom line is we're not here to prove or disprove anything.
Right.
Because we don't experience, like, we only have our own experiences to base that on. Like, the burden of proof is not on us. We are just simply a mouthpiece or a platform to put out these topics, this strangeness, the encounters. Like, yeah. we're not here to prove shit right or wrong.
That's, yeah, I appreciate our approach on that. I think it's kind of unique that we are kind of like Carla, how we just gather the information and we just kind of consume it as it comes. And
yeah,
we're not always trying to, because that's always, you've heard me talk about it before, but that's always one thing that has driven me fucking crazy about some of, like, the ghost shows and stuff we watch. Everything they just go after it and to disprove. And I get it. But that's fucking lame.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be lame.
If you call in and you tell me that you saw a 15-foot tall Michelin man moonbathing on your neighbor's roof,
I want that to happen.
Fuck am I to tell you that you didn't?
No. What really happened was your neighbor.
It was Venus.
Your neighbor stacked tires on his fucking roof For whatever reason. And you know what? Your neighbor had a leak and he threw a tarp up on the roof and then he started stacking tires on top of it to keep tarp down.
In the shape of a man.
In the shape of a man.
Yeah.
He wanted to fuck with you at the same time, keeping water from getting in his house.
Okay? It was swamp gas. It was a weather balloon.
Exactly.
It was Planet Venus. It was Tire Man. There is a place for skeptics and skeptical reasoning within the paranormal.
Sure.
But that's not our place, motherfuckers.
No, that's where I'm at.
Not our place.
And like I said, I think we're fair in our assessment that we use logic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because sometimes we'll be talking and we will be like, "Wait," and you could argue that so-and-so, like I said earlier, the three women got together and fabricated a story, right? You could
definitely, has happened before.
Yeah, you could definitely say that. But what you can't argue is that this dude who doesn't fucking know him comes in and tells almost the same story and then adds to it.
He's like, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
So, I don't know. That's my take on it. Anyways, as I'm reading this information, I come to a part about how they prepare Carla for her contact with Raw. And I am kind of confused on the steps that they take. At least at this point that I'm writing it. They'll do these sessions, right? And they do them about once a week because apparently these sessions are extremely taxing on Carla. But the day of the session is a little strange. I think it's only bizarre because they acknowledge, at least at this point in the book, that they are contacting a extraterrestrial entity. With that being said, here's the daily routine for these sessions. They wake up, they have a light breakfast, then Carla gets a back massage to help loosen up all of her joints because she's got to lay down and remain completely still for upwards of 2 hours. And
you want a lot of relaxing.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to be tense.
Right. Then they meditate to help intensify their desires into a single desire, which is the contact with Ra. Then the interesting part, they perform a ritual of protection and cleansing of the room. Carla is then covered in a white blanket and her eyes covered with white cloth. Carla mentally recites the prayer of St. Francis. Dawn then puts a Bible, a candle, incense, and a chalice of water above her head. And it's weird to me because it is semi-acknowledged, at least, that this is an off-world entity. I may have put the ET in it myself. But this off-world entity...
I'm here for it.
This off-world entity is instructing Carla and Dawn to put these items... And they have specific... So... For whatever reason, this is like this beginning, this episode in itself, everything that I'm writing is kind of like a foreshadowing event to converse, like actual conversations later on in the book. And at one point, Dawn asks Ra, like, "Hey, is there anything that we could be doing to help Carla be more comfortable and maintain these conversations for longer?" Because Ra will acknowledge during the conversations, like, "Hey, Carla's essentially running out of juice. We must end this communication now. We must help maintain the integrity of Carla. We don't want to, you know, run her dry, essentially."
Yeah.
And so, like, Ra spends a lot of time helping Dawn and them figure out the best methods of keeping Carla charged up, comfortable, and maintained, which is, it's really interesting. You don't hear it very often in a lot of supposed communications, but he does, like the incense and shit. It's literally like listening to him lay out this whole process, it literally reminds me of when we were kids and the TV channel would go out and we would fuck with the bunny ears.
Oh, that is weird.
That is exactly, because he's like, take the incense. And it's like he sees it real time. He's like, take the incense and turn it to 20 degrees to the north.
Does he say why he used those specific things?
He does later on. Like, okay. It's not like anything ultimately relevant.
Because I'm like,
you know, because he says something like the incense helps with the body, and then the chalice of water is for after the session, because everybody in the room is supposed to channel their love into the chalice, and then that's what she will drink to help replenish her energy.
That's fucking weird.
It's crazy.
I thought it had something to do with vibrations and no. That's weird that they put everybody else's intent in there. Almost like, oh man, almost like he doesn't want what's going on in their room to escape the room.
Well, and we learned some interesting facts in the next episode. That it isn't, it's not that it's nefarious by any means. It's weird. But
sus.
You have to keep in mind my descriptions of everything about how this is very like monk related. We get more into that in the next episode, but it is interesting because Ra alludes to things. See, Ra
is sus.
I don't know that he's sus. I fuck with him right now, or them, because it is a collective. But Ra will answer anything that you ask. He will not volunteer information to you. You must ask for your own path of enlightenment. Keep that in mind.
Oh, when you said it like that, because we talked about it a little bit when we were outside.
Yeah.
That shit sounds real, real fucking tricksterish to me.
Kind of.
When you said it that specific way, it hit me in a weird way.
Kind of.
Like, almost like troll under the bridge kind of thing. Like, oh, you can get the information, but you have to solve this riddle.
Yeah, I feel that.
That's weird.
I feel that.
Here to be the, what's the word I'm looking for here? I'm just trying to cover all the avenues.
Yeah,
right?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with looking at it through a different lens.
And everybody knows me. If I hear ET, I'm immediately think they're up to no good.
I agree slightly that you should definitely, like I said in the first episode, you should definitely be suspicious of any off-world entity that's trying to have a conversation with
top
you.
Top-tier manipulation is what I'm saying. We are simple creatures, and when something more advanced comes in and tries to sell me some shit, no, thank you.
It's crazy that Carla like can essentially leave her body and then Ra will inhabit it and answer questions. And
that's terrifying.
It's fucking weird, dude. It's weird.
I am so anti entity right now that I was doing some research on a future episode, and it was the same old trope where the aliens are putting forward visions of the end of the world, nuclear visions of the end of the
world.
Cool. This is what's going to happen if you guys keep going down this path. And I'm like, why is this such a common narrative?
Right? We've heard that in a lot of different cases too.
Like almost everyone that shows the future is like, you guys got nukes, you're going to blow yourself up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what's that to them, right? What's that to them?
Yeah.
And my brain goes, what if this is a manipulation tactic to get us to disarm ourselves?
Oh, fuck. And then they
come. So these motherfuckers come in.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea.
Like, say nukes are our one trump card, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is what will fuck them up. And they're like, you guys gonna hurt yourself with them.
Yeah.
Put them away.
Yeah. I mean,
that's where my brain's at right now. I apologize.
That's not a bad tactic. I'll just say that. It's not a bad tactic.
I'm not trying to be Mr. Negative, Captain Negative, but I'm just saying I don't trust
it. I fuck with it.
Oh, it's getting good. Like, it's got my brain fucking twirling.
Yeah, and that's where we'll end there. We'll leave you guys on a cliffhanger because the next one comes in with conversations with Raw.
Raw is in the building.
He is in the building. We get into some of the conversation. They're really fucking interesting, too.
Are Hatan and Raw connected in any kind of way?
I don't know yet. I feel Raw does allude to some of the things Hatan talks about, but never directly. And ironically enough, he's kind of dismissive of some of it.
Hmm. Warring factions, as we've Maybe. Also heard. Interesting.
Yeah.
I also want to throw out there, like everybody knows, I'm not very savvy in the realm of metaphysical and the realm of psychic, but people who are able to channel, I guess, other energies and spirits. Did the way Carla talk about that, is that like, I'm not going to say legit because I'm not taking anything from Carla's experience, but is that like how it works? As you're sitting there meditating, do other entities just like pop in?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's,
I didn't think about that.
Like you're just sitting there, you're focused on one thing. Say, today
my meditation. I feel like it does.
My meditation is going to be focused on this. And all of a sudden, you just got like something behind you, just not leaving you alone, not leaving you alone, not leaving you alone.
And then you're like, what, motherfucker?
Yeah, I'm curious. So hit me up on that.
I feel like people are going to say, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, I bet so. Because it
makes sense.
It felt almost natural the way that she portrayed it.
Yeah.
But yes, anyway, yeah, that's part two of the Law of One.
And yeah, I'm going to try to condense it down to like at most two more episodes. So I got a lot of squeezing.
Episodes. If you didn't listen to part one of the Law of One and you made it this far, I don't know what to tell you. Just carry on. But be sure to tune in next week for part three. Thanks for hanging out with us, Hollow Cult. We appreciate you. Check us out at all our social medias. You know the drill. Until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and if you have a psychic surgeon on speed dial that might let me and Kyle hang out and check it out, also email that our way.